Last week in the National Interest, we discussed the rise of high-frequency trading, where computers buy and sell shares in milliseconds. High-frequency trading already accounts for around a fifth of the transactions on the ASX. That's about $1 billion worth of stock changing hands every day. Dan says high-frequency trading is just unproductive gambling and should be banned.
I really get annoyed when I hear traders talk about how you can make a lot of money using high-frequency trading. It's probably true, but let's get this straight. Nothing was made by these traders. Not a thing. Money must represent value added somewhere through real work producing real products. These characters are nothing more than parasitic middlemen. They live off the noise of the share price.
Jules was equally sceptical, though he did see an opportunity for raising revenue.
Let me see now. If the turnover of $1 billion per day was taxed at, say, 0.1%, this being about the rate your small individual share trader has to fork out per trade, then over a year the government could pick up a neat $250 million. If high-speed trading increased fourfold, then the $1 billion raised would be handy. If it was taxed at 1%, the $10 billion would be extra useful and maybe even put a dampener on these ultimately useless practices. The only ones who are profiting from this type of trading are very large, well-funded organisations with privileged access to technology and information. If this is not just another way of creating money out of thin air, then the profits made by large organisations will be balanced by the losses incurred by lesser mortals. I would respectfully suggest that the idea that the money floating around for these transactions provides useful liquidity is weasel-worded bollocks.
Don, on the other hand, was distracted by an issue of pronunciation, since our guest repeatedly used the acronym HFT for high-frequency trading, or rather HFT.
This was a very interesting segment, but also very irritating to listen to because of the consistent mispronunciation of the letter H over and over and over. If you say H, you should also say FEF for F, LEL for L, and MEM for M.
Well, Don, I hate to break this to you, but a 2001 survey by Macquarie University found that a quarter of Australians pronounced the letter H as H. And it was even more common amongst young people. 43% of 10 to 24-year-olds say H. The official ruling from SCOS, that's the ABC's Standing Committee on Spoken English, is that it's no longer reasonable to reject this pronunciation. So I can't censor Generation H from the National Interest. It doesn't mean I have to say it, though. We welcome H-Mail on this topic. Time for an abject apology, for me to grovel or perhaps curtsy for a lapse in protocol. Last week in the National Interest Roundup, I made passing reference to the royal visit and said Her Royal Highness Queen Elizabeth was taking a boat trip on Lake Burley Griffin. Margaret from Sydney was quick to point out my faux pas.
About 10 minutes ago, we were told that Prince Philip and Her Royal Highness were on the barge on the Lake Burley Griffin. Prince Philip was with the Queen, not Her Royal Highness. Thank you very much.
This caller from Sydney thought I was trying to send a coded message.
I wonder if Peter Mears is trying to establish his credentials as not being a monarchist. His reference to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth as Her Royal Highness gives her a title that she wouldn't have been able to use since she became the Queen 60 years ago. I suspect he's trying to prove to us that he's really a Republican and doesn't understand these things, but I'm sure he'd be well aware of military rank or forms of address in the church or whatever. It seems a rather pointed misuse.
No hidden messages about republicanism, just a very careless mistake. And for the record, I wouldn't necessarily be certain about the proper forms of address for a military officer or a member of the clergy, though if in doubt, I would check to make sure I got it right. As I say, in this case, it was just carelessness on my part. I promise to pay more attention next royal visit. The National Interest is produced by James Panicki. Our sound engineer is John Jacobs. And on ABC Radio National, it's coming up to the news.